Please listen carefully.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Erica and my little one Elizabeth here. Are you saying hi to everyone? You think that's funny? So, I just want to jump on here really quick. This podcast episode doesn't really need an introduction, but over the weekend, I recorded a live podcast in New York City at the Nourished Retreat with my friend Jeanette Bizio of Sustainable Health. I apologize for Elizabeth yelling in the background. Mom life is crazy, and I just got to get the intro in when I can. It was a really great episode. We had a live audience. We took live questions. A lot of fun. I'm hoping I can do another event like this in the near future. I may have something already lined up. So let's jump into today's episode. And before we jump into today's episode, I really want to give a great thank you to Pixel Eyewear. They are today's podcast episode sponsor. Let me tell you a little bit more about why you guys should check out Pixel Eyewear. Did you know on the average, people spend 10 plus hours a day staring at digital screens? It's over 70 hours a week, 280 days a month, or over 3,300 hours in a year. That's absolutely insane. So it should honestly be no surprise that an estimated 70% of Americans experience an eye strain due to prolonged use of electronic devices. So what's the solution? Insert Pixel Eyewear Company. Basically, they've created eyeglasses that filter out 50% of the harsh blue light and up to 95% at the highest levels without distorting your color perception. The glasses also eliminate glare and alleviate strain in your eyes, as well as incorporating a nanotechnology coating that keeps your lenses clean and scratch-free. I have a pair at home and I absolutely love them. I use them when I'm vlogging, or I'll toss them in my computer bag and I'll bring them to work with me. And the frames are really light. I was actually talking to a friend yesterday who asked me if the frames were heavy, and I was like, no, they're very similar to regular eyeglass frames, and they're also super stylish. There's a variety of styles for you to choose from. So if you want to grab your own, make sure you head over to pixeleyewear.com, and you can use the promo code BYOK for a discount, and I'll leave all that information in the show notes. Okay, guys, let's jump right in. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. Erica and my little one Elizabeth here. Are you saying hi to everyone? You think that's funny? So I just want to jump on here really quick. This podcast episode doesn't really need an introduction, but over the weekend, I recorded a live podcast in New York City at the Nourished Retreat with my friend Jeanette Bizio of Sustainable Health. I apologize for Elizabeth yelling in the background. Mom life is crazy, and I just got to get the intro in when I can. It was a really great episode. We had a live audience. We took live questions. A lot of fun. I'm hoping I can do another event like this in the near future. I may have something already lined up. So let's jump into today's episode. Hi, Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. This is our first live podcast recording, so I'm really excited. My name is Erica, and I am the blogger behind Bring Your Own Kombucha. And with me here, I have Jeanette of Sustainable Health. And Jeanette, why don't you give us a brief background about yourself before we jump into our sustainable living conversation?
Sure, thanks. I'm Jeanette Spezio from Sustainable House, a small business. I'm a first-generation American. My parents were both grew up in Germany, and we were kind of scrappy growing up. My dad had an organic garden, and my mom worked in a health food store. She grew up on a farm. My dad could build just about anything, and we never had any money, and so we camped through all the national parks, and I kind of grew up like an environmentalist. You know, we did everything ourselves, and you just figured it out. So as I became an adult, I really did those same things, right? I continued to garden and make things. I can sew and cook. My mother was a master seamstress, and I just lived sort of a, you know, that type of a lifestyle. And after a 30-year experience in corporate, I just started to really focus on healthier, greener living. And I started in my house because I was already eating organic, and I cared about the skincare products and all those things that I use, but I bought green cleaning products, but I felt like I couldn't understand what was in them. And so that's where my journey began. And from there, I just kind of kept going from one product to the next and making all these things, and it just became a business.
I love that. So we were speaking the other day, and I was telling her how I didn't realize and I didn't really come into the sustainable lifestyle until I became a new mom. And I realized how important it was to leave this planet, you know, in a safe place for our children and our grandchildren and the generations later. So, Jeanette, can you tell us how you really came into your sustainable lifestyle and what that actually looks like?
Sure. So I'll start with just a couple facts. As you start to look at healthier living, you do start to realize that there's a lot of plastic around. And as I researched, you know, was plastic good or bad and all those things, I learned an awful lot. And so I kind of ended up on a journey towards zero waste. And that kind of permeates everything that I do because I'm in a lot of different directions. But in New York, the average New Yorker throws away 4.5 to 5.5 pounds of garbage every single day. 3/4 of a ton a year per person, even their children. And so where does it go, right? It gets burned or it gets buried. But a lot of the trash that we throw away is packaging. A lot of the packaging is plastic. Plastic is a petroleum-based product. It's not biodegradable, and to make plastic do what you need it to do, to be rigid and clear and hard and all those different things, colorful and molded, they add chemicals, and they don't tell you what they add. So for me, the journey really started a lot about trying to get to zero waste and to eliminate the plastics. And while I care as much about the environment, I also realized the health impact was just huge. So every day I'd go to work, bring in my organically grown salad from my backyard in a plastic container. And the plastics leach toxins, whether it's bisphenol A or, you know, other things. And so I really felt like I needed to change. And I often wear a t-shirt with Sustainable House that really just talks about, you know, we've got to make these changes. We've got to reduce the plastics and make changes that are healthier for our children, because they're inheriting this planet, which is full of landfills. 40% of the ocean surface is covered in plastic. So not only do they have to clean up the ocean, they then have to figure out what to do with it. And, you know, we have species of animals that aren't going to be here. We have glaciers that aren't going to be here. When I took my kids to Glacier National Park and we looked at the glaciers, I said to them, look closely, because when you bring your kids, there won't be any glaciers in Glacier National Park. So it really is about the children. And so for us, we've kind of come into this lifestyle of convenience where it's easier to buy your strawberries in a plastic container. It's easier to go to the ice cream store and get your ice cream with a plastic spoon, right? But when you think about that spoon, right, the journey is they pull the petroleum from the ground, They add lots of unknown chemicals that have all kinds of serious health issues with a lot of chemicals that are not disclosed. They make it into a spoon. It goes to a distribution center. From there, it ends up in a warehouse. It goes to the store. You get the spoon. You use it for what? 5 minutes maybe, or however the duration of your meal is. Then it goes into the trash, which is now a whole nother process, but it will never biodegrade. It's sort of always here unless it's burned. How is that easier than bringing your own spoon? We're not accustomed to bringing our own spoons, right? Because that's, we're in this convenience lifestyle, especially here in the U.S., but we've got to start to go back to how we did things 100 years ago and just make a difference. And for a lot of the things that I do, I look at people and I say, there's nothing that I do that any one of you couldn't do, right? It's just a matter of, do you want to learn how to make your own soap, make your own detergent, cleaning products, learn how to sew and make your own, you know, things. But it's, there's no patented trade secret. It's just a way of reusing. So a lot of what I do is non-toxic cleaners and using just household ingredients and a lot of upcycling. So fast fashion and fabric's a whole another aspect of environmental care. To make one men's cotton t-shirt, it takes over 600 gallons of water.
One t-shirt.
And that's from, you know, growing the cotton and, you know, harvesting it and cleaning it and spinning it and, you know, manufacturing it into a shirt. But that's just huge, and that's one aspect. There's the carbon footprint. There's the way the land is treated, because cottons tend to have a lot of pesticides. It's the way the farmers are treated. It's the whole ecosystem. So we've got to use the things that we have for longer and repetitively rather than continuing to go new. So I do things like, you know, repurpose toweling and making useful things like produce bags and everyday napkins to replace paper napkins, and really aiming towards this zero waste lifestyle, but doing it in a way that doesn't further impact the planet by using everything new, right? So it's just ways of being more environmentally friendly.
So let's talk about your business, Sustainable House, because I know that I use your detergent. I also use, she has these reusable Swiffer mats. I don't know about you guys, but I clean at home with a Swiffer, and she creates these Swiffer mats that I can just use, toss in the wash, reuse it again instead of always using another paper product. She just has so many creative things, so I want you to just tell us a little bit more about them. What are some of your favorites? What are some of your most popular ones?
So for me, it really started with my laundry detergent, because I was buying the green detergents and I wanted to just understand what was in them. And the words were so long. And I finally said, it is too hard to really research each of these items. I'm just going to make my own. And so I learned how to make soap, but I wanted to do it really sustainably. So I bought organic coconut oil, lye and water, standard soap recipe, and that got mixed with super washing soda, which is an A-rated product by the Environmental Working Group, and baking soda, and it cleans nicely. And I wanted to price it for everybody, right? Like, it shouldn't be that you have to spend a lot of money to get something so basic. It should be available to everyone. And if everyone bought it, I'd be very sustainably from a margins perspective. And so that's kind of how it started. And so a mason jar of 30 ounces will do up to 60 loads at $17, right? So just the perspective of, it's not one of those things that's going to cost you $100 to do your laundry. That's crazy. So I started there and just kind of kept going. And I just got frustrated by what was available in the marketplace. So today I would say, with your laundry, your skin is your largest organ, and it absorbs 60% of what it touches, right? So you care about your face cream, and we care about what we eat, but we should care about what our clothes are washed in, which touch our skin, right? Our sheets, our towels, all that. So look up your detergent on the Environmental Working Group site, EWG.org, Environmental Working Group, and you can see how it's rated. Mm-hmm. And so I know we're talking about our kids. Yep. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to buy Draft, you know, for my baby. It gets a failing grade. It's rated F, failing. So we just don't pay a lot of attention, because we're marketed to by these big companies, and they just sort of put stuff out there. So if you made no other change, go to a fragrance-free detergent. That's like the number one thing. And then from there, try to find something that is better. So that was sort of where it began for me.
And can we just touch on how it's also packaged, your laundry detergent?
Sure. So I'm right out there, and you can kind of see the jars. They're glass jars or paper bags, and you can buy it when I sell it at my farmers markets in the summer and in the winter in New Jersey. You can buy it package-free. So I come with a bin, a scoop, and a scale, and you can get as much or as little as you want. So it's really my entire premise is meant to be package-free, plastic-free, because, you know, we sort of wait for somebody else to fix things, and it'd be great if we had regulation that solved all this, but it's all the manufacturers and all the companies and all the small businesses that really, you know, need to own it. Like, you look at Snapple, right? It went from glass bottles to plastic.
Yeah.
And I think often when it gets to bigger business, you just see it's just about the profits and not so much about how we treat ourselves and our planet and the future for our kids. So the laundry detergent is available package-free, and it fits really great in a coffee can. That's my favorite. Then the next thing that I sort of went down this path of thinking about my kitchen and my kitchen sponge. Most sponges are synthetic, right? So when you think about what's a plastic, anything that's nylon, polyester, synthetic is a plastic. It's just another word for it. So I didn't want all those microplastics going down the drain. So basically, almost all bird life around the oceans, almost all those birds have plastics in their bellies. And it's killing them because they fill up with the plastics that they eat. But then there's the microplastics, right? So the birds are getting microplastics, the fish are having microplastics. It's pretty much a given that all of us have microplastics in us. So I didn't want the sponges and the things that were going into the water stream to be having little bits of microplastic, right? When you think of that new sponge, it's all like perfectly plump, and by the time you're done with it, it's ragged, and it's not as, there's not as much of it there anymore. Like, where did it go? It went into the water stream. So if we want to have our coffee and our tea without plastics in it, we have to think about it at that level too. So I created just a compostable sponge, and I didn't have to feel badly about how I was washing my dishes anymore. And then the Swiffer sheets, and they're just made out of old terry cloth, right? So 100% cotton. I use 100% cotton thread. That's extremely unusual. It's hard to find anything with cotton thread. So I take the whatever thread is on the items that I'm repurposing, whether it's a curtain or a duvet or whatever, and get rid of the thread. I either cut it off or pull it out. And then I use cotton thread and make it into things like a Swiffer sheet. So it's just, that's it. And it just fits on the Swiffer, and you can keep reusing it again and again and again. And lo and behold, we don't need as many things as we thought we did, right? It can also clean your dishes. It can wipe down your counters. It can dry your cups. Like, you know, whatever you need it to do. It kind of, it's multi-purpose. And you just wash it and that's it. And it wasn't any new fibers, right? It's all used stuff. That somebody else didn't want, and we can now reuse it right here. So it's also local. It's not buying things from a great distance.
So what are some ways that everybody can implement a sustainable lifestyle, zero waste lifestyle at home? And what are some like really good resources if anybody has any further questions or research that they want to do?
Sure. So I think that give a kind of a few tips. So first I'll go really kind of quickly over some plastic-free tips, because when you see those things that say BPA-free, right, and you're thinking bisphenol A-free, it's safe, they use other chemicals in there that are estrogen mimickers, just like the BPA, and because there's no disclosure rules about what's in them, it might be safe, but my guess is it very well might not be. They've tested some of them, and some of them are worse than the bisphenol A that they removed. So for me, I try to avoid plastic. But I'm a normal person. I have a cell phone. I drive a car. This particular cup has a plastic lid. I'm drinking without the lid right now. But, you know, you have to make your choices, and we're not going to be perfect. So don't worry about being perfect, because we're all on a journey, and if everybody make a couple small changes, like today or tomorrow or next week, that's so much better than one or two people being perfect, and I don't know how you can be perfect. So, number one, don't drink from plastic. And that'll get you thinking, okay, so you get your metal cup or your glass bottle or whatever. And then you'll think about where does your milk come from and how did the juice come in your house and where's the water from. And so think about all that. Don't drink from plastic. Don't microwave plastic. We've all heard it. But when you heat plastics, it amplifies the toxins. So don't microwave. Don't put them in the dryer. Don't leave them in a hot car. And it breaks them down so it's even worse. And don't use old plastic. So if you're looking at your water bottle and you're thinking it's really old and you're proud of how long you've had it, get rid of the plastic one. Shift to something safer. Because I was this person, right? Like, so this was me. I totally, you know, you learn these things and you're like, wow, I wish I knew that. I wish if I could tell my younger self something, that would be the thing. So don't microwave them. Don't touch heat-generated register receipts. You know, they just spool out of that machine. They're coated in bisphenol A. So if you need to touch them, wash your hands. If you can say no thank you, do that. But that's really the best way. And then just start to think about how your food is packaged, how you're buying your strawberries and your lettuce. And some things are easy. Lettuce comes in a head of lettuce versus a carton. It's easy. Strawberries, very hard. So, you know, you make your choices and store food in glass when you can. So those are like the plastic-free tips. I think when you think about sustainability, it's so much broader of a topic, right? And so the less impact you have, like start to think about zero waste and how you're generating waste, and that just makes you think, right? So there's a store by me, I'm going to talk about kombucha for a second, and they sell, you know, kombucha in a reusable container. It's a big quart jug, and I go in there and I bring it. I could also buy it at the store where I get a new bottle every time, but and I do a little of both, but I try to bring my reusable kombucha and try their flavors, and it just kind of works nicely. So when you think about sustainability, it's about reducing. So, you know, you could buy produce bags. So bringing your own reusable is so much better than the plastics. And for anybody who's vegan, you should know that those plastic bags have a slipping agent. It's an animal fat. So if you're vegan, definitely another good reason to stay away from those produce bags. But you can buy new ones, and when you're buying a new one, I think to myself, am I buying polyester synthetic, or am I buying a natural fiber? Am I buying a new fiber, or am I buying an old fiber? So as you're making those purchasing decisions, that's really when you start to think more about sustainability. So we buy mostly used clothing. I'm wearing the used shirt, I'm wearing the used pants, I have a used blazer, and they're all cotton, right, because I want to be more... I want to think about the end of life. So if you think about reducing waste and what the end of life for your products are, that helps you get more sustainable.
How about that? So do you have any resources, any documentaries, or anything like that you can recommend to the rest of us?
I do. And of course, I have a whole list, and it's printed. So a couple things. So you don't have to take notes or anything like that. I have a booth right out there. It's posted on the wall. But a few things. So if you have the time to read books, which I know is, we are all a little pressed for time, but Beth Terry has a book called Plastic Free, How I Kicked the Plastic Habit, and how you can too. It's an amazing resource. It will teach you everything you need to know in one place about why plastics are bad, and how to just be, you know, zero waste and more sustainable. Christine Dimmick, who's right here in New York City, has written a book called Detox Your Home, and she's got a business called, oh, I've completely forgotten. Anyway, Christine Dimmick, you can look her up. But a whole guide to sustainable living. And it's things from air quality in your house, right, which is affected by paint, flooring, glues, all those things. And so she talks about air quality, she talks about water quality, things like your mattresses, your paints, your flooring. Like, and so I'd say, especially when you're making a big decision, a big purchase decision, just spend a minute and research it, right? Because our go-to is, where'd we buy our last bed? Where'd we get our last paint from? And if you spend 20 minutes just thinking about that, you'll be so much happier with that longer-term choice. So she's awesome. And Nora McKendrick has a book called Better Safe Than Sorry, How Consumers Navigate Exposures to Everyday Toxins. Those three books are just really excellent. If you don't have as much time and you're, you know, it's sort of hard to spend time on this with everything else going on, I think there's some good movies out there. There's a new movie out called Bag It, which I haven't seen, but it's gotten really good reviews. The True Cost is about the fast fashion. So that'll make you think about everything fabric in a whole new way. My daughter actually brought that one to me, and it's available, I think it's still on Netflix. Plastic Ocean really tells you a lot about just where plastics and recycling is going and all that. And Before the Flood, which really talks a lot about our carbon footprint. And movies are kind of easy. You know, you spend 2 hours, you're done, and you're like, wow, I learned a lot. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, those are probably quick tips. For those who like blogging, obviously, Erica, I love Bring Your Own Kombucha.
Thank you.
Blog and podcast, because there's lots of good health-related tips there. I also like Wellness Mama. Just really, you learn a lot about, you know, how to sort of live a little bit differently.
Now, does anybody have any questions that you want to ask Jeanette about sustainable living or zero waste?
I think one of my top questions is, do I need this? And okay, we're in America, it's a consumer driven place. Sometimes the answer is, I just really want it. You know, did I need this necklace that I bought 2 months ago? And I didn't need it, but I really wanted it. But when I ask that question, it absolutely reduces what I purchase. I think that the other thing that I do is I try to stay away from those big places, whether it's Amazon or big box stores, and I really shop farmers markets. I can't tell you how much I buy at a farmers market and markets like this. And I do tend to ask, the first question is that available without plastic? And if nothing else, it gets the vendor realizing that somebody is asking, can I get that without plastic packaging? So I happily bought an empanada, and I said, you know what, I don't need your dish. I got my napkin. You just put it on there, and it was package-free, and it was perfect. So those are things that you can do. But farmers markets, I think, do a really nice job with local and package-free. And it's a little bit hard, but if you look around you, you can find markets that are evenings, some that are weekdays, and some that are weekends. And so within a couple miles of my house, there's a Saturday market, there's a Sunday market, and there's a Thursday night market. So I can kind of time it if I can't make this or that. I'll also say, small tangent, but we talk about chemicals. There is Roundup and the glyphosate in Roundup. It's really kind of all over the news these days. And they've said, they've done studies, organics, non-organics, they have glyphosate in them. It's everywhere. It's because it's traveling through the air and the water, and so for me, instead of saying, well, organics aren't worth it, they're as bad as anything else, I say just the opposite, right? By buying organic, you are at least supporting the organic farmers, the organic process, the people that don't use the glyphosate. And if we want to have healthier children and a healthier future, we've got to reduce the toxins. So you know, it's making small changes. So I have a newsletter, and my tip of the newsletter this month was, talk to your lawn care provider. Do they use Roundup or glyphosate? And if they do, ask them not to do it on your yard, right? That's one phone call, and it does two things. It shares the message, and it makes your environment a little better. So those are kind of some of the things that I do.
Yeah. So what do you do with your water? I have a Brita filter.
So water filters are a little trickier. I have a whole house filtration system. I've had it for more than 10 years. It's a California company called Aquasana. And it's a big metal tank, and then there's a smaller tank, which is also plastic. So I think some things are very hard to get without any plastic. But I think that if you can't find a glass filter, which I'm not aware of any, so I don't have a quick answer, but if you give me your email, I will send you a note if I can find one. Another thing for me is seltzer. So I have a soda stream, and it goes into a plastic bottle. But I don't stress over that because I say to myself, okay, it's going to go in that plastic bottle, and then I pour it directly into a glass bottle with a like a latch lid. And so it's not sitting there soaking it up. It's in there for a small period of time. And don't kid yourself. Whatever you buy, somewhere along the way, unless it's from the farmer's market, most likely has plastic. And even the farmer's market, they often transport the vegetables in a plastic container. So it's almost no getting away from plastic entirely. But I think if it's used correctly, which is not overused, it's not, you know, it's the least of the evils.
I actually just purchased a Berkley, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Berkley or Berkey, water filtration, and it just sits on your countertop, and it's made of metal, so it's not glass,
but good.
It's made of metal, it's not made of plastic. It's a little bit pricier than the Brita. I think it's like around like $150 to $200, but it's ginormous, and it's supposed to do a better job than Brita as well, so we actually just made that shift.
And I'm not yet aware of a filter that filters out microplastics, because that's going to be a big issue. And I've heard that there are some, there was a recent award through Liberty Science Center for some girls who found, created a solution to pulling the microplastics out of the washing machine, right? Because we're washing all these polyester clothes and synthetics and the spandex and the microfibers, and it pulls the microplastics out. So I think that in a matter of a short time, we'll have a filtration thing that will make sure there isn't plastics in your water, but I don't know of one today.
Very cool. Who else had a question?
So, with sustainable living, I know a lot of the times people suggest that you buy in bulk. So, like when you go to the grocery store, you use like a glass jar, but in the city, a lot of us commute, so it's kind of hard to go grocery shopping and then go on the train with like heavy glass mason jars. So is there any product or anything that you would suggest that we use instead that can make it slightly easier to go grocery shopping?
Yes. So I tend to shop at Whole Foods. They're really good by me with the glass jars. But a cloth bag will actually go pretty far, especially if you tie it tightly. So you could put most grains in there, which is mostly what I use the jars, like the bulk shopping. So I don't know that I'd put flour in there. That's probably more of a paper bag, but again, paper is going to be less of an evil than other things, right? It's not plastic. But you could put most of it in a cloth bag, which isn't going to have much weight. And so one of the things about cloth bags is you need the tear, which is the weight. So this is a 3-pack. It comes in 3 sizes. So that would probably be really good for raisins. And right in here, it's got the tear, T-A-R-E, which is the weight of the bag. And so then they can back that out. So you're only paying for your raisins or your apricots or peanuts or whatever. And I think that we're going to start to see more bulk stores because there's still a limited number. But when you think about it, if you're putting it in bags, it's really not going to add much weight. And when you look at all the plastic packaging that you often get around stuff, that over time will add a bit of weight to your groceries. So the other thing that I find is when you shop local and you shop really fresh, I don't buy a 2-week supply of anything anymore, really. I tend to shop the bulk section, but I don't buy so much that I'm, you know, that I can't carry it. I probably come back with 2 bags tops each time, and I drive to my, because I'm in New Jersey suburbs, I drive, I pull right up and I park in the little eco space where the hybrid electric vehicles park, and go with my canvas bags, and I come out with 2 bags for a household. So I hope that helps.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here and listening into our podcast. You can find it on iTunes. It'll be available.